bunch of them here in the first half, including a stretch whenever San Antonio missed 13 straight shots. Hurdle's not going to take an outside shot. He had to get rid of it. Uh-oh, Forbes three at the buzzer.
Really good ball movement by the Spurs, and Forbes had an awesome first half there, Falwell.
Allen Johnson gives it to Eubanks. Forbes into the paint. Boy, great challenge by Len, but a better shot by Forbes.
Hawks looking for their first fourth quarter points, trying to stop the Spurs. Coming through Walker to Forbes. He's had a magnificent hot hand. Calvin Johnson off that. He's shown step, knocked it away briefly. Then Forbes shot clock at one. Flipped it up and beat the buzzer. That is frustrating.
Well, there you go. The newest member of the Denver Nuggets is going to be Bryn Forbes. And I want to get into this whole trade. The Bol Bol thing was just absolutely bizarre. The Nuggets originally wanted to trade Bol Bol to Detroit. That went through. However, he failed his physical. Comes right back. The Denver Nuggets Twitter account actually said, farewell, good luck to Bol Bol. And then when he failed his physical, it was, oh, hey, welcome back. We didn't want to trade you, man. But they did end up trading Bol Bol. Also, P.J. Dozier, which I think is obviously the biggest loss here. National media is picking up on the Bol Bol thing because of his dad and the celebrity that comes with him. But P.J. Dozier, that's the interesting one. So let's bust into this right now. The Denver Nuggets are acquiring San Antonio Spurs guard Bryn Forbes, as you just heard some of his highlights there, in a three-way deal with the Boston Celtics. So the Nuggets are sending Bol Bol, P.J. Dozier, to the Celtics. Both players are hurt. Bol Bol's getting ready to have foot surgery. He's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks anyway, but he wasn't playing for the Nuggets. P.J. Dozier, meanwhile, out for the season, was playing significant minutes for the Nuggets. But both of those players are going to Boston. The Spurs will get Juancho Hernan Gomez. You remember that name. He played for the Nuggets for a short stint. And they'll also get Denver's 2028 second-round pick. So in all that, what you need to know if you're a Nuggets fan is you're getting a shooter. Bryn Forbes averages 9 points per game, but he can shoot the ball. That's the thing with him. And right now, when you look at the Nuggets, nobody's really shooting lights out consistently. You got Joker doing everything from all over the floor, but right now, when you look at the roster, nobody is a threat as far as hitting from deep. I mean, Will Barton, he's averaging 15 points per game. I mean, it's staggering when you look at the stats, when you look at the Nuggets stats. Joker's averaging 25 points per game. Next is Will Barton. He's 10 points less than that. That just goes to show you everything. That tells you everything you need to know about the Nuggets at this point. It is Joker and everybody else. Now, I'm not looking at Forbes thinking he's the savior by any means, but this is going to help. And if he can bring that shooting ability to the Nuggets, that is going to open up some things. You might, when he's in and Joker's in at the same time, you are going to see teams probably hesitate to double him down low, because if you're open, even if you're barely open, Joker's going to find you. So this is going to spread the floor out for Denver. This is a big move. So we'll see how this works out. But I want to talk about what the Nuggets gave up. You know, Bol Bol was such an interesting story, wasn't he? Everything from when he came into the league. Obviously, he comes into the league. He has a basketball past because his dad, of course, the great Manute Bol, he had a lot of fame just coming in. But his story as far as, you know, college basketball, kind of similar to Michael Porter Jr. He played for Oregon, gets hurt, doesn't play a lot of games. So you're kind of drafting him on the prospect. He's 7'2", with a wingspan of 7'8". 7'2", 220. Very skinny guy. Had the makings, if you just look at him, he can handle the ball. Had the makings of a unicorn-type player. And I always throw that out there. You know, that term does get overused. So he's obviously not that guy. But he had the makings of being that. You know, anytime you're 7'2 and you can handle the ball like a point guard, you have the makings of being a unicorn. But for whatever reason, Michael Malone never saw it. He was not interested in playing him. I mean, the guy barely, even in blowouts, barely gets any minutes. He's a fan favorite, though. Again, a unique player, a unique skill set. Losing him is not a big deal. PJ Dozier's interesting. That move, because I thought Dozier was a big part, I don't want to say a big part, but a part, certainly a part of what they were looking for in the future. And for them to move on from PJ Dozier, knowing he's out for the season, makes me really think, okay, this is a move for winning now. I think if you poll Nuggets fans, like, do you think the Nuggets are in win, like, do you think that they're on the back of their head, back of their minds, they're thinking of winning several playoff series and going to the championship? They're all going to say yes, sure. But without Porter and Murray, this team is probably a sixth seed, maybe a play-in type team, and they're probably losing in the first round. It is what it is. I hate to be that guy. Now, again, if Murray comes back like we think he's going to, and you get even, you know, an average version of Murray, like last year's version of Murray, if you don't get bubble Murray, you're probably a contender. But if you get what we saw from last year, yeah, you're probably back to fit. You probably jump up and up to a fifth seed, maybe even a fourth seed. And again, Porter, same kind of difference. You're not going to catch Phoenix. Probably not going to catch Utah. Maybe you can catch up and get in that third or fourth spot. But that's assuming everybody comes back and they're healthy. But that's a big assumption. So, like, based on where we are right now, I think it's safe to say, like, I wouldn't bet on the Nuggets moving past the first round. However, they're thinking differently. This move, although it's not the biggest move we've seen in the NBA or going to see in the NBA this before the trade deadline, this move certainly signals that the Nuggets are in a win now mindset. That, hey, this move will help us make a move where we need to be. Like, this will help us get to that next stage and get into the playoffs for sure. Not that there's a lot of doubt that they're going to miss the playoffs, but get into the playoffs, get into the postseason, and potentially make a move. So overall, I think you got to like this move. PJ Dozier not going to be here anyway this year. And I didn't know that they were even going to bring him back this offseason, last offseason, but they did. And he was good. Like, he was, you missed him when he was out. But this move to me it's actually a really nice move for Denver. You know, Forbes, he averaged 9 points per game. But that's what he's going to do. He's going to hit three-pointers. I mean, just look at their last 10 games or so. Here's his three-point numbers. 4 of 5 against Cleveland a few nights ago. 6 of 11 against Houston. 1 of 4, 3 of 5, 1 of 7, 1 of 4. Again, not like the best three-point shooter in the world, but he's going to open and spread out a defense. So certainly going to help. This is a very interesting move, a very positive move for the Denver Nuggets. Certainly Tim Connelly making deals for the now, and I think that does excite Nuggets fans. We're going to talk to Chris Dempsey coming up, our Nuggets insider from Altitude TV. Get his thoughts on it, the whole Bol Bol thing. What was his – have him kind of like, you know, summarize Bol Bol's time as a Denver Nugget, what he really thinks as far as this team making a push. We are in that second half of the season, and the Nuggets have some winnable games coming up, including tonight against the Clippers. 14 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll catch up with Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV, talking all things Denver Nuggets as they have traded Bol Bol, PJ Dozier. Later on in the program, we got David Roddy, the David Roddy Show coming up. They play New Mexico tonight. It's a late game. And boy, people are going to Moby Arena. Maybe they're breaking some records over there. Talk about that all coming up on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy.
Follow NoCo Preps Hoops with Preps Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man Brady Hall and The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
19 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, our Denver Nuggets insider, Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Chris, I'm pretty, as our producer was pointing out, I'm pretty optimistic about this Nuggets trade. This certainly screams the Nuggets have no intentions of saying, hey, next year's our year. This was a win-now move.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, and to be able to, to survive, you know, part of what they have to do is be a lot more efficient from the three-point line. And so what they've done is get one of the best three-point shooters in the league, just to be honest with you. I mean, he's shooting 41.7% from the arc this year, which is already the best percentage on the Nuggets team. And he's a top 20 shooter. He shot over 40% for the last 4 years. I mean, at or over 40% each of the last 4 years season. So, I mean, this is a big time shooter. And so, I agree with you. I think this is a really positive move for a Nuggets basketball team that, think about where they came in this season. They wanted to shoot 43 pointers a game. They had hoped that they would shoot the same percentage or a similar percentage to last season, which was 37, almost 38%. And so what that would result in is, like 14, 15 three-point makes per game. Well, we all know that really hasn't materialized. They've had these super spikes where they've gone up over 20, and then they have these super lows where it's right around, it's single digits, and I think we just had like a 4 of something. As a matter of fact, I believe it was against the Clippers where they're playing tonight. So you need more consistency from that line. Also, you need a threat that's going to alleviate pressure from Nikola Jokic and your guards that do like to penetrate and get into the lane. All these teams are doing are just saying, we're going to stop that, and we dare you to beat us from the perimeter. And, there are a lot of nights where the Nuggets have not been able to do that. So I really do like the move as well.
Yeah, I mean, what I'll be interested to see, Chris, is how we work this with the depth chart. Does he work with Nikola Jokic a little bit more? Is this more of a strengthening of the bench? Because right now, I mean, Nikola Jokic's biggest weapon would be a three-point shooter, right? It would get rid of some of those double teams down low. And everybody knows when you're playing the Joker, if there's a sliver of being open, he's going to find you.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, it would be big. Bryn has spent, the majority of his career coming off the bench. So I wouldn't foresee that changing in an appreciable way here in Denver. So then the question is what are your substitution patterns? How are you getting him on the court with Joker? Because it would benefit. I mean, Jokic obviously can collect assists from a guy who can hit three-point shots, but he has been fairly well hounded the last, let's call it about 4 weeks to 5 weeks, where teams have just basically said, look, we're going to double team and triple team and front you and do all the stuff to make it your life a lot more difficult. And if you want to be a playmaker and pass it out to a shooter who may or may not hit the shot, then they are more than willing to live with that. And, it also does bring us to this. If you look at Joker stats, even through all of this business that he's having to deal with, they're still so really good. He's just efficient through anything you throw at him. But for the team to continue to play better basketball, this was definitely a move that needed to be made.
Well, I think of it like a quarterback in football, Chris, is like, just give him weapons, give him receivers, give him guys that he can throw the ball to. That's what you're doing with the Joker, is you're finding pieces that will complement him, essentially, which I just think this is a very big move for the Nuggets. I think encouraging for fans, too, because waiting to see what happens with Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., you do have people wondering, okay, how far can this team really go? Are they a playoff team and then that's it? Can they go deep into the playoffs? But I did like this move. I felt like it was an aggressive one.
Yeah. I think it's one that can that holds up no matter if Jamal Murray and MPJ are in the lineup or not. When they come back, it's not all of a sudden, well, what do we do with this guy? He complements them too. And when they come back, and if they're shooting, especially if they're shooting the ball well, you now have multiple players that can really fill it up from the three-point line. And that's a big deal. you know, it's a big deal. You know, we've seen even the Nuggets in the playoffs, even with Jamal Murray and Joker, have these instances where teams just dare them to shoot the ball. They want to take those two guys out and then dare anybody else to shoot the ball. So you have to be multiple, you know, to use a football term, you have to be multiple in your offense to be able to operate through defenses that are trying to take away your strength. And so this is just one piece, you know, to be able to do that. Like now the Nuggets are definitely a second round playoff team no matter what move. It gives them a step in the right direction. It gives them the opportunity to operate the way they really want to operate. And if that is able to happen, now you're talking about a basketball team that can view itself a little bit differently as far as how getting to the playoffs and then how far it could possibly go once it gets there.
Yeah, and sometimes, you're right. You don't necessarily need a three-point shooter all the time hitting a lot of shots. It's the threat of that three-point shot that opens up everything offensively. And like you said, that gives the Nuggets more of an opportunity to do the things that they want to do going forward. Now, let's talk about the other end. Let's go Bol Bol first. What an interesting situation, Chris. He's gone. Yeah. He's back. He's gone again. And now he's got foot surgery coming up, too. So talk to us about that move. Obviously, you look at it and Boston's like, okay, we're fine with it. We're good with this move. We know he's going to be hurt. He's going to be out for a while, but we like the prospect of him down the road.
Yeah, or they'll cut him. Yeah. You know, it'll be one of the two.
More of a salary dump maybe for Boston.
Yeah, because, the Celtics, they do have designs on getting themselves under the luxury tax. And they're not quite there. They're just on the cusp. So it will be interesting to see how they handle both he and PJ Dozier. Obviously injured players on expiring contracts. So there's a scenario where they both are waived. I guess there's a scenario where one or neither of them are waived. And so that's just kind of up to what the Celtics see. The Celtics seem to me to be in a different kind of a space. You know, they're in a space where, they're looking for a third, like, really big-time player to go alongside Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and lift them from where they are right now to actually being a legit contender in the East. And, obviously, neither one of these two players, and certainly that wouldn't happen this year with either one of those two players. They're both injured. But I don't know if that's how they view those two guys because, their future seems to be on a little bit different trajectory than to be collecting young talent that still needs to prove itself in the NBA.
Yeah, well, and the PJ Dozier one, obviously, as you said, he's out. But that one's tougher to take, right? Because it did kind of feel like he was going to be a part, maybe not a giant part, but a part of this the Nuggets' future. So that one's obviously Bol Bol's a fan favorite. I get it. It's got to be the most loved Nugget that rarely saw the floor. But PJ, that one kind of hurts.
Yeah, it does because you know what he can bring. You know, he's kind of a Swiss Army knife that really brought a lot of defense. So that's going to be missed on the perimeter. Obviously, we weren't going to see it this year, but we've already seen it. We know what he can do. We know he can handle the ball. He can play make. He can shoot. He can do a little bit of everything. And especially the ability to be able to switch anything on the perimeter. Obviously, you don't have that with Bryn Forbes. Defensively, you took probably about a half step back just to be able to get the overpowering offensive power that Bryn Forbes brings to the table. So, PJ Dozier, to me, has a really bright future in the NBA ahead of him. And he just needs to stay healthy. And when he comes back from this ACL, I would expect that he would get snapped up by a team in short order, and then he'll work his way back into somebody's rotation and then be a pretty significant part of somebody's team. And he's that good of a player. And we've definitely not seen the last of PJ Dozier by any stretch of imagination.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, last couple ones for you. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. I mean, every time we see a video of one of those guys, all of us pretty much go to, all right, when's it going to be? First off, let's go to MPJ. Will we see Michael Porter Jr. this season?
That's a good question. I'm a little bit more optimistic about that than I was. Maybe even about the time that he got hurt. And, you know, we've seen, you know, he's doing a little more upright shooting, kind of like very, still looks a little stiff. Both of these players are a long way off. It's pretty clear. Jamal Murray has obviously also, though, made a lot of progress. And yet there's still a lot more to go. His workouts look very encouraging, although he's got to also round himself into condition, and he's got to do contact drills, and there's still steps to be had for both of these players. I think the optimistic Chris Dempsey says, I think we will see both of them. Might not be till super late in the season, but I think we will see both of them. And if the Nuggets are in any kind of good shape health wise outside of that, they would immediately be a scary team,
yeah.
You know, to have to face in the playoffs. So at the beginning of the season, I think even on the show, I said to you, I don't know that we'll see Jamal Murray, and I don't know that we should see Jamal Murray this season. But having watched his progress over the course of the basketball season and what he's been able to do, and his workouts obviously prior to games are starting to look pretty good. I am hopeful and definitely optimistic that he'll be back in MPJ. I think MPJ will be back as well.
What do you, like, if you had to take a, I know it can be dangerous to take a shot in the dark and a guess and stuff, but I mean, if you had to, what would you say? Like, what month could we be seeing both Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr.?
No, that's a good question. March.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well,
super late in the season. You know, and the season ends on April 10th. Yeah, boy, I'd be pretty surprised to see either one of them before March, to be honest with you. So still a long way to go. You know, we're in January, so it's nothing soon. But if I have a guess, just given what I'm seeing, it would be at some point in March for sure.
Well, hopefully the Nuggets can keep their heads above water in the meantime, and maybe that's what this move was all about for the Nuggets. Chris, appreciate you, my man. Another big one on tap for the Nuggets going up against the Clippers. They were working that team a couple of days ago. They were up big. The Clippers come back to win, so hopefully the Nuggets can grab this one at home tonight.
Yeah, and make some shots.
Yeah,
the thing that stands out to me about that game, I mean, other than losing a 25-point lead, was that they made 7 out of 40 jump shots in that game. 7 out of 40. And,
wow.
You know, it's that kind of jump shot power outage that you just can't have. And that's why a guy like Bryn Forbes is on the way, you know, because you need, and quite frankly, you need to clone him.
Yeah.
You need more than one. But yeah, I mean, that's... So hopefully they shoot better than that, and if they are able to do that, then I think, you know, the Clippers are a good defensive team, so let's give them a little bit of credit on that end. But they struggle to score offensively, and if the Nuggets just hit their open shots, I think they should be fine tonight.
Yeah, they got the Clippers one tonight, and of course Memphis on Friday, a big one, and Detroit, and then they're on the road for a while. So yeah, this kind of game, this is an important one for the Nuggets for sure. Chris, always appreciate you, man. Nobody better. Love getting your insight and your thoughts on all things Denver Nuggets.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, man. Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Oh, I did forget to ask him about Boogie Cousins. What's going on with that? Is that happening? Like, he was last week, he was, oh, you're going to sign a 10-day deal, and Michael Malone and Cousins are going to be reunited. Crickets now. I haven't heard anything about it. So we did talk to Harrison Wind on Friday, and he said, hey, if you don't hear anything by Monday, odds are he's not coming to Denver. But then I see cryptic tweets all over, and I'm starting to wonder, is he coming? Like, why is this not like official? Not sure. But we'll keep our eyes on it. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. I just want to get the Hooligans' thoughts here. I'm putting it out there. I got the top 4 or 5 favorites to land the job for the Broncos. Who would you like to see as the next head coach? Go vote on that one at thewholeshow.com. Nathaniel Hackett, Eric Bieniemy, Dan Quinn, Kellen Moore, Kevin O'Connell, or Gerard Mayo. Those are the guys that are rising to the top per our sources. So go vote. I'm actually very shocked by the results. We'll talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us here today on this really slippery... how many of you fell? How many of you fell? Raise your hand right now. I can't tell. I'm just going to trust you. Did you fall today, Michael? Jadeen, you fell? He fell? Oh, I almost did. I almost did. Cat-like reflexes, though, kept me going.
I did not fall. I almost fell a couple times. I almost went into the street a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not fall, thankfully. I did hurt a couple parts of me. I pulled a muscle in my back. But I'm fully okay.
Yeah. I'm glad you're okay, man. I'm glad you're okay. It's scary. I was very shocked by it, man. My car like had a layer of ice surrounding it. It was kind of beautiful until I'm like sliding up to the car, and then I look over at my neighbor and she's doing the same thing. It's like we're dancing. It was actually pretty magical day.
I got onto my rubber welcome mat. I got a text before someone said, hey, better be careful walking to work. And I'm like, screw that. I got on the rubber welcome mat and I'm like, oh no. Oh, it's going to take me a half hour to get to work.
Yeah.
Not... I had to take baby steps.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be careful. You got to be careful out there.
I apologize to all the people whose lawns I walked on.
I got a note here. Thanks, Mark. The CSU's closing at 3 p.m. today due to the weather. So we got CSU closing at 3. Does that impact the game tonight? They wouldn't cancel the game tonight, CSU New Mexico, right?
No, they can't.
They can't. New Mexico's here. You have to do it. No.
And they've already lost some games. You have to carry that game.
In this game, I mean, it was the other New Mexico game, but that's already, we're still trying to figure that one out. It's kind of a bummer, though, about tonight if the weather does keep people going, because the Rams are like, according to Kevin Lytle from the Coloradoan, they could break a record for their average attendance. They're averaging about 5,000 fans, and that's been without the last... With the last couple of games, they haven't had students there. So being able to average that, it's quite the environment there. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, if you haven't been to Moby Arena to watch Colorado State play basketball, you're really missing out. We talk about things to do all the time up here in Northern Colorado, and we say, hey, there's too much to do. So if you're a bad team, you're not going to fill the stands. I get that. You have a special basketball program in Colorado State. And it is fun to watch. Amazing people. Like, if you're not an Eko Medved fan, I don't think you're a real person. I think you're probably part, like, demon warrior or something. Let's read some texts. Eastside Chris texting in. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Brady, can PJ, filling out his resume, put down Celtics, even if he doesn't see any court activity? Yeah, I would imagine he could. If he's on the roster, both of them will probably get cut. Mysterio says, be an athlete, Michael. Talking about you, Michael. He's talking about you.
Well, first of all, you have not seen the way I am built, which is not well.
You're not necessarily a Greek
god. I am proof that
God
has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I am proof that you have a sense of humor as well, baby. I was just not well built. I'm not built for moving.
No,
I am built for laying down and sitting down.
Yet you walk everywhere. I see you walking all over the place. Like, you're always walking.
Yeah, that's because you're looking at Linkin Park all the time. You're looking at Linkin Park, and you're like, why is Micah going to Right Coast Pizza?
Have you been to Stella's yet, downtown?
Which one is Stella's?
That's the arcade stuff.
I did go to Stella's. They have skee ball.
Easy.
I haven't played skee ball yet, but I'm going to. They have skee ball.
So you're a big skee ball guy.
I haven't played in 20 years.
They have like old school, what do you call it? Why can't I think of it?
Arcade games?
Yeah, what are the things though? Pinball machine. Like, they have tons of those.
They and do, then, but skee ball.
I'm a big skee ball guy.
I love
skee
ball.
I'd rather go bowling. Like, that's better for me. I'm not a big skee ball guy. But I do like that they have the Ninja Turtles old arcade game.
I did see that. I went through the other night, last week.
Look,
had a burger there, walked through just to see what it was like. I'm excited about skee ball.
What's Mysterio saying here? Galaga? What's that? What is that? What is that? I'm curious with Jadeen. He's learning the ropes here, but he's a youngster. Is that appealing to you to go? You can just tell Michael, or you can jump on the microphone for the very first time. Are you ready? This is your big moment. Oh my goodness! Can we get a drum roll? Is that? Oh, that's far too advanced for this program. Jadeen, for the first time ever, is on the whole show. How are you, man?
Yeah, it's great to be on the air.
You've been kicking butt. Of course, if you go to the UNC Coaches Show, you've been out there with Jerry helping him set up, hang out, man, and you busted your hump so much. I said, you know what? I think this guy belongs with the whole show. Does Stella's, have you been down there?
Yeah, I went down there once earlier this summer, actually.
Okay, so you're a young guy. You're a little bit younger than me. I think that's fair to say, correct?
Yeah, I give it something like that.
Is that appealing to you as a young guy? That's not stuff that you grew up playing. You grew up in the era of Xboxes and PlayStation. So is that appealing to you?
You know, a lot of the digital games really aren't. Pinball, obviously, skee ball, stuff like that's more physical I'm interested in, but the digital games...
But just like poking, two buttons and then moving a joystick around, like that's not, that doesn't
not,
do it
not
for you.
Not for me.
Well, we'll have to go down there sometime. We'll have a competition with Michael and play some skee ball.
Oh, yeah.
All right, great job by JD. We're going to be hearing more from him. Excellent job. Susan and Cheryl, no applause, apparently, for that, no? We're not getting an applause anymore?
He was in there.
Man, the production value of this show has really gone down. Can we not afford it? Is it time to talk about that? Can we just not afford it?
There's one microphone in this room, and he was standing in the way between me and Susan and Cheryl.
You make excuses.
I couldn't encourage them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're here every day. They show up. Susan and Cheryl show up to this show, even though a lot of times they're just getting in from a party. Like, there they are. Wow. And they sound so energetic. They sound like they're always like, they don't appear hungover all the time, which is crazy to me because I don't know when they sleep.
No. It's a Denzel Washington flight type of party.
I don't know what that means. Elaborate.
It's best that you don't know what that means.
Great.
It's a great movie, though.
46 minutes. You're obsessed with Denzel Washington.
He's my favorite actor, and it's a great movie.
All right. Well, this is our poll question today, our Method Flow Products poll question today. Who would you like to see as the next head coach for the Denver Broncos? Dan Quinn is not leading, at least according to the Hooligans right now. You've got Nathaniel Hackett getting 38% of the votes. Second in line is Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy, the enemy, right, with the Kansas City Chiefs. If that guy doesn't get hired this year... You know people are mad about that, right? You know the NFL talks about it every year, that Eric Bieniemy does not get hired. There's something interesting with this guy. I believe the Broncos interview him on Friday. It's not going to be Eric Bieniemy. I'm telling you guys, Dan Quinn just seems to be the leader. He did interview with the Vikings today. So what's, do the Broncos have some competition? What's the more appealing job? The Broncos or the Vikings? And I'm sorry, but right now, the Vikings have their ownership set. They do have a quarterback right now. I don't know what the future with Kirk Cousins is.
Kirk Cousins doesn't count as a quarterback.
Kirk Cousins or Drew Lock? Who are you taking? Or the unknown? You're taking Kirk Cousins.
I think that's a coin flip.
Well, then you're Vic Fangio. That's how he operated the Denver Broncos the entire 2021 season, was a coin flip. Let's read a couple of texts. Noob, Steve Adazio. You like to see him as the next head coach? I mean, that's what you basically had with Vic Fangio. A lot of similarities, really, between those guys. I think Vic's like seems to be like a nicer guy. I'm not saying Steve Adazio's a mean guy, but he wasn't always like the easiest to interview, especially when we're talking to some of our friends over at the Colorado one. 48 minutes after the hour. Go vote on this. I'm curious to see where this lands today. Nathaniel Hackett is getting more of the votes. Texter here from Dwayne. How does Broncos Nation, I think it's country, isn't it, Michael, not want Eric Bieniemy? The offensive coordinator you've watched not only beat you, but go back-to-back Super Bowls is on the table and everyone's not jumping. Am I missing something? Why isn't Eric Bieniemy more of a real candidate for the Broncos or any team in the NFL, for that matter? Let's discuss on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Sports from the coach. Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Time to play the game!
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Have you guys been to the GOAT yet? I know Jay Dean has been to the GOAT. His real name is Jaden, by the way, but that's just how it goes, man. I mean, I meet you, you become part of the show, you get a nickname. That's it. The GOAT is seriously the best, man. We love having these guys on as part of the show. The real sports bar. The real sports bar throughout Northern Colorado. I put them up against anybody. They're located near Center Place of Greeley. They got the Wisconsin cheese curds that are famous, burgers, wings, gigantic bar. 360-degree bar top. In the spring and summertime, they have the patio there for you. 36 HD TVs, perfect place to go watch the games. And they have all of the networks, too. You had asked me last night, Michael, when we could watch the Nuggets and the Avs again. Well, go get DirecTV. I mean, it's been 2 years now. If you don't have it, I do kind of feel bad for you, but you can go to the GOAT and watch it. They have all the networks. They have NFL Sunday Ticket for the regular season, basketball, hockey. Go watch the Avs and the Nuggets games there. And, of course, college basketball lighting up the tube right now. So check out the GOAT. Tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. The results on this are very interesting. Why isn't Eric Bieniemy a head coach in the NFL? He's been the offensive coordinator now for the Chiefs for several years. The Chiefs' offense just keeps getting better. Even before Patrick Mahomes, they were still a playoff-caliber team. So why is it that Eric Bieniemy is not getting more realistic looks? We don't know what goes on in the interview process, but is he bad at interviews? Because he gets them. He's interviewed for several head coaching jobs. That's the only thing I can think of. Does he just like crumble in the interview process? Does he have a bizarre game plan? A team hears it and goes, "Whoa, this guy is not going to be. This is not going to be good." I'm not sure. So you guys kind of want him. It looks like. I mean, the Hooligans. You guys are voting right now, and Nathaniel Hackett is getting the majority of the votes. Let me guess. You think that that's going to be what's going to bring Aaron Rodgers over here? Hey, if that's what it takes, then hire Nathaniel Hackett. I like Nathaniel Hackett. I think it would make sense. I'd be cool with that move. Of course, he has a sense of humor, which I'm sure is lasting in some of the Hooligans' brains as far as, you know, the stepbrothers thing that he quoted last week as far as doing an interview with the quarterback's coach. So Nathaniel Hackett now receiving 40% of the votes. He was in like the 30s. Eric Bieniemy second. You guys would like to see Nathaniel Hackett or Eric Bieniemy. Dan Quinn sitting at 20% of the votes. Then it's Kellen Moore, Kevin O'Connell, and Jerod Mayo. I'd be curious. Who's voting on Kevin O'Connell? Who's voting on Mayo? Like, those are the two guys we haven't heard from the most. Like, or we've heard from the least as far as being a favorite. Probably is the top three. Kellen Moore is interesting, but it probably is Dan Quinn, Eric Bieniemy, and Nathaniel Hackett, realistically. Now, I know Eric Bieniemy talks will start up more on Friday when they sit down and interview him. And then the other thing is Dan Quinn, like I keep saying it's probably going to be Dan Quinn. Does Quinn choose the Broncos over the Vikings? I mean, if you're saying, hey, no, the Broncos is way more appealing. Yeah, the Vikings were 8-9, about the same kind of record. They have Kirk Cousins is better than Drew Lock. They have Dalvin Cook. They have good players. You know, Adam Thielen next year will be back, recovering from injury. Does that appeal to Quinn more so than the Broncos? And their ownership situation is figured out. You know, I like I said, I was talking to Tanner Schwinn of NoCo Now today, And I don't like to compare sports to the real world very often, but in this case, I mean, you're accepting a job, but you don't know who the owner of the company is, and it's up in the air. There's rumored that there's going to be a new owner. Are you more eager to accept that job or continue looking? Because if you take a job there, the new owner could come in and change everything up all around you. That's why I do think the Broncos job is not as appealing as it would have been 10 years ago, 15 years ago. 12:57 the time. We switch gears on Wednesdays. We make room for the one and only David Roddy. Got the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza coming up. We also have the Getting to Know David segment. I love doing that. Load up those questions for David. Can be anything. It can be sports related. It can be anything. Text in 888-530-0043. The whole show transitions to the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza coming up next.